This is the Day Zero update for April 15th, 2018. I'm Felipe
Odenoffo. I'm Patrick Mefflin.
I'm Brandon Parkins.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Dan Rev Victoria.
And this week, yeah, Sega happened.
Yeah. Sega did.
Yep. So we're going to talk about all the things.
Sega did what Nintendo don't.
Yeah.
Well, save the news cycle for this week.
Basically. Is,
yeah.
Yeah, hopefully Nintendo will do a Direct next week. We don't know. They usually do one a month and haven't done one.
Although they did do something in Nintendo, so yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll get to that along with some other stuff that happened this week. Some fun stuff, some bizarre. Billy Mitchell. Yeah, that's a thing. So
something that's been a long time coming.
Yep. And yeah. So we'll get to that. But first, we've been playing stuff this week, and I went back and dipped into Tekken 7.
Mm-hmm.
Tried out Noctis, and yeah, that's a thing. He's, yeah, he really doesn't belong in this game.
No.
Not in the slightest. So, I don't know what Harada's thinking, but with these kind of deals, but...
The theory is that he was originally going to be the guest character for Soul Calibur 6, but
yeah,
Soul Calibur wasn't deemed big enough for Square standards, so they insisted it was Tekken instead. So,
yeah, shoehorned him in there, and it's... I mean, Akuma I can get, because, you know, it's, that's a crossover that's already been done.
And they've made him work in the story, too.
Yeah, and they made him work in the story. You know, Geese Howard, yeah, I can kind of get that, too.
Yeah.
Two different worlds, but similar styles.
So, and similar stories,
yeah,
if you think about it.
So that can work. And then you got Noctis, which is like, huh? What is he even doing here? He doesn't play like any other character in the game, so he's got that going for him.
People can't seem to decide whether he's amazing or garbage.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with he's amazing garbage. That's just how I'm going to put that. So yeah, Noctis is out. You can download him if you have the season pass, or you could buy him for $11 or $10 if you're in the U.S., I wouldn't. So, yeah. That has been my disappointing Tekken 7 report. Basically, yeah, I'm not really too keen on all of the characters that they've been putting in, apart from Geese and, well, Eliza's kind of fun. But, haven't seen any of those returning characters that were mentioned.
Yeah.
And the year of Tekken is just about over. So, yeah, get on that, Harada. So that's kind of been it for me. How about you, Pat?
Well, now that a lot of the heavy lifting over at World Warriors is done, as far as the launch goes, I've gotten back into gaming for myself. So there's been finally some more Yakuza 6 as we lead up to the review here in the next few days. And I'm getting back into playing Super Turbo. I was away from that for a little while as well. So... I feel like I'm progressing past any level I was at before, which is nice, especially for such a long-running game. But we'll see. There's plenty of tournaments coming up, so we'll see if I've actually made that improvement that I'm feeling right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of these tournaments are online, some of them are in person, so I'm not sure, you know, which ones you're going to end up attending, but we'll see.
I've been a regular at Monday Night Fight Cades.
Yeah. Yeah, you were traumatizing them for a whole while before, so yeah. So Brandon, how about you?
Yeah, I'm still playing Ni No Kuni 2. I'm actually pretty sure that I'm getting close to the end now. Mostly now at the end, it's mostly a thing of getting my overall kingdom updated enough so that I can update the weapon shop so I can then have this weapon to get made so I can then go off and fight the final boss. or at least what they're saying is the final boss. But yeah, it's still a lot of fun. I'm thinking after this, I'm probably going to go and get God of War.
That's the plan.
Yeah, that's the idea anyway. But yeah, so I mean, Nino Kuni 2 is really good. I will say that it is a, like I said earlier, it does seem a bit shorter than the first one, but that's only if you don't include all the side quests and stuff in the game, which is, oh boy, there's a lot of them. And a lot of them require, actually reward you by getting more citizens for your kingdom that you can use to have them work various parts of the kingdom, you know, your weapon shop, your clothing shop, the markets, the fishing, the farms, all that stuff, and helps you get money. That's basically what I'm doing right now. What about you, Chris?
So I have been playing a game called The Hunter, Call of the Wild. It is on Game Pass for right now. It is published by Avalanche Studios, the Just Cause people.
Uh-huh.
Which is a weird thing, but I think the dev is also in Sweden, so it is an open-world hunting game, trying to be realistic, and it's actually pretty neat. I played about an hour or so of it, and it has some neat mechanics to it. They definitely encourage you to explore, and you have like this weird hunter vision where you can look at the tracks that an animal leaves behind to try to follow it. And there's definitely a huge element of stealth, trying not to, you know, just run through the forest and hoping that, like, and expecting that any animals are not going to just fucking run away from you. And my session kind of ended when I was trying to go somewhere and there was a bunch of mating foxes. And it seemed like they were going to fuck me up if I went over in their direction. But yeah, it's pretty neat. I managed to get one kill pretty quickly. I don't know if they just set it up that way, but there was a deer that was hanging down at the bottom of this hill that you start on. I managed to hit it, and it kind of just bled out as it ran away before you go and collect the whatever stuff you collect off of that stuff. But yeah, it's pretty neat. Also playing a bunch of Fortnite. I got the battle passes, $10, and have been getting a lot of fun out of that. I think at this point I've got about 400 V-Bucks back through the battle pass, so that's about halfway to what it cost. So I'm just going to keep putting more time into it. And it's a lot of doing that is just completing the different challenges they give you, so that there are a bunch they give you for each week. I think there's two more weeks to go. I don't know how much longer after that they keep the season open, but a lot of it is like, oh, go to this specific named area and open up 7 chests. You know, get kills with certain types of weapons, do damage with certain types of weapons, do these special things, go visit these special areas of the map. And so that's kind of been my focus, just jumping in. It's like, all right, I'm going to go land in this area and look around for chests and just kind of explore a little bit, not really worrying too much about trying to win, which I think is making it more interesting and fun. It's just kind of learning more of the map. The weird thing that's going on right now is there is a comet that is headed towards the island. It's kind of been hanging up in the air for a couple of weeks now, and people are trying to figure out what that means. Some think it means they're going to be just tearing down one of the major parts of the map where a lot of people land. I think it's called Tilted Towers. It's just one part where people just go to try to land at, and it's just a really spicy area. Some others think it's the signal that hey, the Save the World part of the game is going to go free to play when it lands.
Hmm.
Which seems possible, because that would be like a cataclysmic thing.
When they did this in Final Fantasy XIV, it replaced a bad game with a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, though, I don't know what the game here, at least, is pretty good, so it's not the train wreck that Final Fantasy XIV was before they rebooted mm-hmm. that whole thing. But yeah, it's pretty neat. I've been trying to jump into the Xbox One version, and that's not working at all, despite them putting out the big update about for cross-play and cross-progression. I was talking to some people like, oh yeah, that definitely works now, and so I downloaded it, and it's like, no, you cannot play this on Xbox One with that account. So I think I have to go onto the Epic site and unlink my Xbox One Live account from it and create a whole new Epic account just for that one version of the game. That's not going to happen, because they should be able to let you log in with the same account on all three of the major platforms, like every other cross-platform service out there. So I don't have to have a special EA account for Xbox or PlayStation or anything like that. And I was playing some Paladins, which lets you do that same thing exactly. It doesn't keep the progression between them, but it just lets you use that same account, so you don't have to sit here and juggle multiple accounts. Which is weird, because they had some big server issues, I think, on Friday. It was down Thursday or Friday, I think. It was down for like 12 hours, the servers, as they were like frantically trying to fix whatever major issue was going on. And a lot of people were getting emails about, you know, some random IP was trying to access their account a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
So they were sending out emails sort of letting people know that there's 2FA on the accounts and that they should probably go log in and turn that stuff on. But yeah, I'm waiting for them to fix the stupid account issues, but at this point, whenever I look up forum posts about people wondering if anything's changed on this, Epic never replies to any of them. So that seems to suggest they don't give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing some Red Dead Redemption on the Xbox One, because they have a big update for the 4K Xbox One enhancements, and it's completely terrible. On 1080p is what I'm doing it. It's almost nauseous.
Oh, it sucks?
Yeah, it is awful. It's the video I put in the chat there. I guess it's frame stuttering is what it's doing. So every time I move around or move the camera around, it is not running super well. It's kind of like stuttering in the background. John Marston actually looks fine in the foreground, but everything in the background just gets real bad looking, and I have to stop playing because
mm-hmm.
it doesn't look good at all. So yeah, they need to do something and fix that. I don't know how you could release a game update like that and fuck it up for everybody that has 1080p TV. Yeah, so that's not great.
Dang.
And that's been kind of it. How about you, Dan Reb?
Well, that sucks. I wasn't to commend Rockstar for doing something like that, but yeah, that really sucks. Anyway, yeah, it's been a while since I've been on the show. Yeah. Been really busy. First off, one of the main games that our studio works on came out, and it's been an interesting experience. Like, one of our goals is to like be the number one free app in the App Store, but we're number three, because guess which two games are number one and two? No guesses?
PUBG and Fortnite.
There you go. Yeah, so unless we want to add Battle Royale to a baseball game, I don't think that's going to happen, but yeah. But yeah, a game launching successfully is always an interesting experience. On top of that, I attended GDC the following week, And yeah, it's been pretty cool there as well. Before the show, I was talking to the guy saying, I went to more days of GDC this year than last year, but I actually have less to talk about it. For those listeners that are unaware, GDC is really mainly for developers to just rekindle, you know, their relationships and talk about what they're doing. Perhaps do some networking there to find new opportunities. And yeah, but if you're actually there as a student or something and there's something you want to play, you'd typically be able to play it right away. There aren't really that many lines to speak of. And if there are, it's for like a really, really big game like Far Cry 5, which came out the same week it did there. But yeah, it was a whole lot of fun. I met a whole lot of people there. Normally what I do at GDC is I try to meet some of the smaller indies who have games that are more fun than you would hope or expect. One such game that I played is a game called Head Snatchers, which I wrote a preview on Snatchpad for. And it's really similar to Gang Beasts, where it's you almost sort of like control all the limbs, but it has that Bomberman-style level of fun where you just go ahead and go crazy with people. Like, the main thing about that game is you tackle your opponents, you remove their heads, and then you take their heads and do whatever you're supposed to do in that level. So there's this soccer level where there's four nets, so you're supposed to take everyone's head and shoot them into their goals. Or there's a basketball game where you take everyone's head and, you know, slam them through the baskets. There's even one on a pirate ship where you have to just throw them off the ship. So it's been pretty interesting fun. I was playing with a bunch of strangers from other development companies, and yeah, like we were laughing and we were on that machine for like 15 minutes. So yeah, got good with their PR team, and we're probably going to be one of the first publications to review it. So yeah. GDC is really all about networking, and it's a whole lot of fun when you're there. There was some controversy sparked from international attendees there saying, "Oh, San Francisco is totally dangerous. Why do they keep having it there?" I mean, first of all, like the event is always there, so I don't really see it moving anytime soon. And as dangerous as it is, you can really say that about any city. You know, if you want to have your meetings, I would recommend like having meetings indoors rather than outdoors, because you know it's random places can be dangerous, especially in this era where we voted in a certain president. So
yeah,
you know,
FYI.
yeah. But yeah, that's GDC. And then this week, I just got back from New Orleans for WrestleMania. For any wrestling fans who wanted my opinion on that, WrestleMania probably had one of the best cards of all time, if not the best cards of all time, and the matches just didn't meet the potential at all. One of the reasons I was there, aside from the fact that they're a business partner, is I was really looking forward to seeing AJ Styles take on Shinsuke Nakamura in the United States, and the match just wasn't that great compared to their bout in New Japan. And the only really good thing out of it was the fact that Shinsuke turned heel after that match, giving AJ a low blow. So that was pretty fun. The match of the show to me was Charlotte Flair beating Asuka, although I don't agree with Asuka's tapping out. But yeah, wrestling is a totally different beast. Because I was busy with all that, I couldn't get as much time with gaming as I hoped. But when I did, I was playing a bunch of Golf Story. Golf Story is pretty fun. It's just that it's tough to really tell what you're supposed to do sometimes. Like, there is sort of a central plot line, but it's really tough to see where you're supposed to go because you just end up, like, shooting random balls into holes, which is what golf is all about. So there's that. I'm also 15 hours deep into Ni No Kuni 2. I've just gotten to the point where it's pretty good. Because I don't know about you, Brandon, but like aside from the introduction, the first part of the game was rather stale for me.
Yeah, it's kind of standard at first, but then it kind of opens up.
It does, and when it does open up, it's something just totally different. Actually, I should be focusing on the main quest, but I'm really just building my kingdom. I didn't expect that part of the game to be that fun.
I know that you can waste hours in that on that part alone, pretty much. Yeah.
So I'm just like looking around every place I've visited before, trying to find people to come to my town and things like that. I know it's like semi-spoilerish, but one of the things that you didn't mention last week is the fact that one of the main characters you use is like the president of the United States, and he has a gun. I was like, oh my god, there's a gun in this game. So I was like, okay. This is pretty intense.
Well, they had pistols in the first game too, so
I don't remember that.
Yeah, they did. I mean, okay. They weren't quite as prevalent, but one of the dudes did have one of the main characters did have a pistol. So,
yeah, but yeah, Ni No Kuni 2 is solid. I guess my main complaint is that some of the battles are a little bit on the easy side, and then you have the skirmish battles that take place on the world map that I really don't find useful at all. Probably because I suck at them and I lose most of them that I try, but I don't know. I just don't really see a purpose to having these in the game. So, I don't know. It's really beautiful though. I'll give them their props for, you know, making the game as good as it looks. I do wish there was some actual anime cutscenes instead of.
Yeah, they didn't do any anime cutscenes this time. It's all engine based. So
yeah, it's super fresh looking, but you still hope for that. But I don't think there's any of them there. I don't know if you see any in the end either. But it's pretty cool. Over Easter weekend, I played and finished A Way Out with my brother in about 2 days. Mm-hmm. Super solid. The best comparison I can make is a Telltale game or Life is Strange with actual gameplay in it. So it's more of a glorified walking simulator, except that, you know, you also have combat gameplay as well as some gunplay. The problem is you don't really get to that until like the last couple hours in the game. And it's really just some sort of straightforward puzzle solver. So, I don't know how you pronounce the guy's name. Yusuf Fares, you know, the guy who went totally apeshit at the Game Awards.
Yeah,
Yusuf Fares.
Yeah, he definitely has the right idea with this game, and that if he makes another one or makes a sequel or something, I just hope that there's more things to make it a little bit more complicated. Because if you play this game after playing Brothers, you'll want a lot of the stuff that made Brothers good in this, and it doesn't really have that same feel. At the same time, the story is actually well written. The ending can be a little bit predictable, but it's still pretty fun to experience because these characters are actually pretty likable. So the story is solid, the gameplay is solid. I just wish it was a little bit more difficult. But I platinumed it, so that's always fun.
How long is it of a game? Like you finished it over 2 days, but it's
7 to 8 hours.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's, I don't know. Like nowadays, I would call that a little long, but I don't know. When I was a kid, I would have preferred a little longer game. So, yeah.
Well, I guess for a game that you're supposed to play with another person on the couch, that's actually a pretty good length.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was curious about whether that game was gonna actually turn out to be good, and it turns out, yeah. It's actually not bad.
Well, yeah, it's also worth mentioning that if you wanted to play with a friend, they don't need their own copy of the game. They can just download the demo and play from there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's what he was going to announce at the Game Awards in the next year, too.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting tidbit, or pretty required tidbit, but he didn't do it, so
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, he was too drunk to get to that. So
no, he said he was jet lagged.
Oh no. So he says. So yeah, we'll get to we got two big releases this week. Yakuza 6, which Pat has been playing. The embargo lifts Tuesday, so we'll actually be able to talk about it for, you know, reals. And, of course, God of War is coming out Tuesday as well. And, yeah, people have been saying this game is very good.
Oh, yeah. Basically rethinks the entire God of War formula. And made something incredible out of it, apparently.
Yeah. And, yeah, if you have a PS4 Pro, you're probably going to want to turn on that that upsampling, because, yeah, probably going to look pretty good on that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, talk of the town is it might be better than Horizon, which kind of sucks, because Red Dead comes out this year, so...
So it's so to say. It's already been delayed once. I don't think it makes it out this year. It's a Rockstar game. They'll delay it until they're ready. So, yeah, check those out this week. And we'll get into our news topics of the week, which we'll start with PUBG. Because PUBG Corp is filing suit against NetEase, a Chinese mobile developer who has... basically made a game called Knives Out, and what was the other one? Survival.
Rules of Survival. Rules of
Survival and Knives Out, yeah. Which are kind of sort of PUBG clones. Sort of, kind of.
Yeah, I looked at their Battle
Royale games.
Their Google Play pages, and if you told me they just stole those assets from PUBG, I would believe you. It looks pretty similar in that way.
Yeah, except that they're both Unreal games, and they are the same assets because the PUBG assets are bought from the Unreal store.
Yep.
So
PUBG has just enough work into its overall design that it's not just a pure asset flip, but it's kind of an asset flip.
Well, it's that, but, well, it's not really, you know, there is some original stuff in there. The big issue with PUBG is, and this particular lawsuit, is they're trying to copyright things that aren't really copyrightable.
Yeah.
Like, winner, winner, chicken dinner. I'm pretty sure that that statement has been around longer than I have been born. So,
yeah.
There's that. Then of course there's the model of the weapon models, which they're based on real guns, so you know you can only futz those so much. And then of course they also claim that they have an iconic frying pan which they stole from Team Fortress 2. I don't see how this is going to stand up in court. Unfortunately, their legal department probably remembers Atari versus Mattel.
Yeah.
Where Atari sued over Pac-Man and won. So that may be part of this lawsuit. And I'm kind of thinking...
I actually know nothing about that, so I'm going to research that.
It was Atari was claiming that the elements of the maze and the power pellets and the ghosts changing color were elements that were completely copyrightable, and the court actually ended up agreeing with them and had the game in question, which was Casey Munchkin, that Mattel released for the Intellivision, had to be pulled off shelves.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was a thing that happened, and I don't think that you know, 30 years in, I don't think this is a precedent that's going to be able to be upheld. So, good luck to PUBG Corp. My suggestion to them would be stop litigating and maybe innovate a little bit.
Yes, please.
You know, make your game not run like crap on the Xbox One X. That would be another thing that you could probably spend some time doing.
Or maybe you can just fucking finish the game.
Yeah.
How about that?
That would be my suggestion as well. I should also point out there's a sub-story to this where the company that they're suing, NetEase, is suing another Chinese company for cloning them. I got no words. It's just...
Yeah.
No. this is, of course, you know, the law in China, I have no idea how that's going to even play out. I'm pretty sure that NetEase could probably end up winning that case against another Chinese company, but end up losing it against PUBG Corp.
I guess it evens out.
Yeah, it could even out. Or the other thing is they could win it in China and win it in against PUBG Corp. And then we're at a complete impasse again.
So, yep.
Yeah. I don't know, like, who the hell runs PUBG, but, like, the main thing that I'll give it credit for is, you know, starting what it started. But at the same time, this wasn't even really their idea. And, like, no. you have Fortnite, for example, eating their lunch. And you know what? That game is as popular as it is because it's actually more polished despite taking much less development time. Yeah. So, you know, actually take the jank out of your game and maybe people will, you know, go back to it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Brendan Green just doesn't know how to handle success. You know, they have a huge fan base. Let's not deny that. I mean, there's a lot of people playing PUBG. There's a lot of people who really enjoy it. But at the same time, you know, they have to realize that they're not the only kid on the block.
Exactly. And there's people at EA and at Ubisoft who I guarantee are making their own versions of PUBG in their titles. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, good luck. In other PUBG news, a very strange bit of ransomware has been floating around the internet, which will encrypt your files, and instead of asking you for money, it wants you to play an hour of PUBG. I'm sorry, but I would rather reformat my computer than play an hour of PUBG. So... there's that. But it's also not a very competent piece of malware because it doesn't actually check for the executable signature. So all you have to do is just name something as PUBG.exe and start it. And 3 seconds later, it will start decrypting all of your files. So that's a thing that you could do. Or if you ain't got time for any of that... you can just use the unlock code that it gives you right on the main window because I'm sure that this was probably a joke by somebody, but holy crap, was this ever stupid. Now I want to see Fortnite malware, Fortnite ransomware. Maybe we'll see Radical Heights ransomware. We'll talk a little bit about that game in a bit. If you get bit by ransomware, it's not fun. Some of them are really, really nasty and will fleece you to get your files back. Some of them are very virulent and will populate themselves on pretty much anything you ever put into your computer. But this is not one of those things. it's a curiosity, I would say. It's kind of a fun story to see. Like, yeah, don't bother. We don't want your money. We just want you to play PUBG. So, that is dumb.
Yeah, extremely.
Yeah. So that happened this week. Another thing that happened this week is Billy Mitchell's scores got wiped from Twin Galaxies, and he got summarily banned and kicked to the curb.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it turns out all of that video footage that was shown, it was made famous in The King of Kong, where he sent in a videotape and basically had it played while Steve Wiebe was trying to break that record live.
Yeah, turns out it was a bunch of bullshit because it used an emulator.
Yeah, they don't say MAME, but it was probably MAME. There was a lot of hints as to how it was done. You can kind of see the edits in the video itself, so that's not super hard to spot. And the other thing that people spotted was the fact that the scan lines were in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was a thing. Donkey Kong monitors are vertical, I should point that out.
Mm-hmm.
This one was not. And then, of course, there was the whole fact that it had no audio because MAME at the time had audio issues with that game.
Mm-hmm.
Which would have been a dead giveaway. So, yeah. So Billy Mitchell got his ass kicked off of Twin Galaxies. Twin Galaxies themselves seem to be doing a little bit of a purge at this moment. He's not the only one who got his scores wiped. There was one of Mitchell's friends who had 30 scores which were completely unsubstantiated that were wiped, and then there was the Dragster record a little while back that also got wiped because they seemed to think that it couldn't be done by a human, and inadvertently Ben Heck managed to confirm that because he built a robot to do it, and it couldn't do it. So,
yeah.
Maybe Twin Galaxies wants some legitimacy now and is looking to clean up its act, but...
it's possible.
Yeah, it's possible. Like, as sleazy as Mitchell has been, you can't take away what he has given to this, you know, this hobby in general and the competitive nature of it. But yeah, at some point, you end up becoming a jerk and...
Yeah.
Yeah, things go south, so...
Yeah. I mean, that the record he did for Pac-Man is authentic.
Yeah, so. It's authentic, but that actually got purged as well. Because of this.
Yeah.
So, you know. But anyway, that's the fact of the matter is that there's only one high score in Pac-Man. There's only one way to get a perfect game. So, yeah, that's... Nobody's going to beat that. He was the first to do it. And that nobody can take that away from him, even though that score doesn't appear on Twin Galaxies anymore still. So...
Oh, yay. I'm as good at Donkey Kong officially as Billy Mitchell is.
Oh. Well, you are now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway. So, moving on to better news. We were wondering what was happening with the original Xbox backwards compatibility on the Xbox One. It seemed to have... They released one batch of titles, and then it kind of went dormant for a while. Looks like that's changing. As Microsoft has announced 19 titles for the month of April. Mm-hmm. There's some pretty good stuff in there. You got a bunch of the Star Wars ones, including Battlefront 1 and 2, the ones that Disney owns, by the way. Should point that out. Not the EA ones. And then you got, Morrowind. You got Knights of the Old Republic 2. You got Jedi Academy. Panzer Dragoon Orta. So, if you got that disc, you can play that now. I want to see this continue.
Yeah.
I like how you left out Blinks.
Yeah, well, that's
Blinks.
That's
Blinks. What is that? I've never heard of Blinks. Have you ever heard of Blinks?
I mean, it's there in the front row.
Yeah, it's there.
No, I don't. I don't see it. I don't know what you're talking about.
The thing, actually, I should speak on Blinks a little bit because yes, that game was terrible, but that game is present now, which means Microsoft has actually renewed the trademark for it. If you check your, if you check the trademark registry, they've actually just renewed it.
They're really going to keep this thing going, aren't they?
Well, done right, that game could actually be pretty decent, so maybe...
Yeah, that's the key word there, done right.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
I don't know that Microsoft has any teams that are good at platformers.
Yeah, I mean, they have the great Super Lucky's Tale, so...
Which is, you know, awful.
Yeah, well, that wasn't Microsoft internal, but still.
No.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's neat. It's a nice piece of R-Toon lore.
Yeah.
Because they're no longer around, I don't think. Yeah. But they made a lot of weird games.
Oh, yeah.
And that's definitely one of them.
Yep.
So for all these games, you actually need the original disc, right?
You don't need it. You can buy available. Them for $10 each.
Yeah. Oh, you can buy them. Okay, cool. Yeah. I actually never, you know, I know it's not really panned, but I never really tried Jade Empire, and I don't know. It always seemed like a game up my alley.
Oh, Jade Empire's great.
Okay.
Unfortunately, they don't link to the store where they could be bought at.
Yeah. Well, I think most of them haven't released yet, so.
God damn.
I think a couple have been.
Yeah.
Fucking July.
Are they coming out like tomorrow or whatever, and they're available right now to purchase or whatever?
Yeah. There's a original Xbox section in the store, so they're pretty easy to find now. So so that's good. I like to see more of this. What I would have liked to see, maybe some of the Dead or Alive titles would have been good to see there.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Any?
I can't find my copy of Panzer Dragoon Orta. This is really upsetting.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if they put a Ninja Gaiden on there, not black, because that doesn't work.
Yeah, have to have black. Yeah, or buy it. I wonder why they didn't put the other one. I mean, you'd think it's the same one. You'd think it'd be pretty similar. But
I think that was just because that's what they already had up on Xbox Live.
Yeah.
And also, Wood Events, still not BC.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been waiting on that for 10 years now still.
Yeah. Well, they released the remaster of that, so
yeah,
but that's probably why that's not...
I still want this disc to mean something.
Yeah. I also noticed no Project Gotham 1 or 2 there. So
yeah. 2 would be nice to have some great custom soundtrack stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah.
Look at how great the original Battlefront 2 box art was.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that game was really good.
Yeah, it was solid. I remember.
Quite a lot to it.
Yeah, though that game's a little bit hindered now because there's no online play.
Yeah. Oh, if you get the PC one on GOG, there is, but...
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of this list is like, oh yeah, I have that on Steam, that's on Steam, that's on Steam. Okay. Yeah. I'm pretty good. There's a couple that aren't, like Mercenaries and Panzer Dragoon.
Yeah.
Don't think are. Yeah. I'll probably get SSX 3 from EA Access.
Yeah, yeah. Panzer Dragoon is getting up there in price now, so yeah, be worth picking up digitally if you haven't played it.
Yeah, now Sega fans are getting their hopes worked up. It's like, oh, if we keep buying this, they'll make one.
Yeah. Well, with what Sega's been doing lately,
yeah.
I don't see that as being beyond the realm of possibility. So yeah. Good on Microsoft. Keep going. I want to see weekly releases going forward.
Yeah. Please.
Yeah. And speaking of releases, we have the release date for Mega Man X Legacy Collections 1 and 2. That's going to be July 24th for all the things. Yeah.
Yeah, they're also going to have retail versions. $40 on PS4 and Xbox One. You get a disc for each collection.
Yeah.
Switch also will have one, but it's the first collection on the cartridge and code for the second.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The fuck?
That's been a fairly common thing for Switch games.
Yeah.
For these like collections. I think Mega Man was the same thing. They had the two collections. Mm-hmm. And you got half of it on the cartridge, and the other half was not.
Yeah, Doom is the same way. I mean, the first single player is on a cartridge, and the multiplayer you have to download, which I guess is fine.
Yeah.
But
though that's you're not redeeming a code for the multiplayer, are you?
No. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. You just have
that's
to
just one of those huge games
menu
that
and download it.
Yeah, it's like NBA 2K, I think.
Yeah. And this would be a lot easier if Nintendo would actually get their asses in gear and get the larger capacity cartridges out.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that would help because these publishers are cheap.
Yeah.
Those higher capacity would still be pretty expensive. So maybe if you want to pay $60 for it,
yeah,
compared to $40 for the other consoles, maybe they would.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm looking forward to these. I'm going to be buying them. I'm still waiting for a sale on the original Legacy Collections to be able to get them when I actually have money. So that'd be nice. But yeah, I like these collections and how they're showing up on all the platforms now because these are good games that should be preserved, and having them available on pretty much everything is always a good thing.
Yes.
And they also got a video that was included with the original Maverick Hunter X that it explores the origins of the series, antagonist Sigma, and the rise of Mavericks while shedding additional light on the events leading up to Mega Man X.
I just heard shitting.
Yeah, whatever. It's the same thing. They see vintage trailers, have all the Museum of Art and other goodies, like the previous collections, all that. Yeah, they got the full soundtrack of all four games for the first four.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah, Digital Eclipse has been good at stuff like that. Their extras have been really nice.
I got challenge stuff as well. Yeah, the Mega Man Legacy Collection 1 and 2 are going to be out on Switch on May 22nd.
Hmm. Yeah. Cool. Now, those two collections make a lot of sense on the Switch. Well, they make sense on pretty much any platform you want to play them on.
Oh, yeah.
just Mega Man. Yeah, the classic era, basically.
Yeah, that needs preserved.
Yeah.
Especially those first three X titles, which I still hold as the peak of 2D platforming.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The second Legacy Collection has what on it? 5, 6, 7?
5, 6, 7, 8.
5, 6, 7, 8. And those go into the PS2 era.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be interesting to see how they manage to handle that. Well, on the PS4, that's not going to be hard. Sony's got an emulator for that, but on the Switch? Interesting. We shall wait and see. In the PC news, Chrono Trigger really got a port to the PC a little while back, and it was upsetting people because it looked like ass. Well, they've patched the graphics to have an original mode, and they changed the text box to make it look more original.
Yeah.
And everybody is happy now.
Yeah.
For the most part. I guess the battle system also changed, the screen, at least. It was like a side view originally. Now it's sort of the top-down look that the original had. They show screenshots here. That's real crazy.
Yeah, they seem to have brought it back to the way it's supposed to be.
And toned down the HUD stuff so it looks less like mobile game.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't need giant touch targets on a PC game. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's just not a thing.
No.
But if you did prefer it that way, you could switch it back to what they call enhanced mode, I think.
Yeah.
That doesn't really enhance much. So,
I think there's still issues that people have, but the major ones have been fixed for now.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll probably end up smoothing the rest of them over. But for now, if you want a legal way to play Chrono Trigger that doesn't completely suck, this is your option.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you have
and
PS3,
it is still Chrono Trigger.
PS1 classic version.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not a good version.
No.
That's a laggy version.
That's the Square Enix recommended version on that platform. Just like the only version of Final Fantasy 1 and 2 is the PS1 version.
Yeah.
Not the PSP versions that were
better.
Big improvement.
Yeah. So we talked about Boss Key last week, how Lawbreakers wasn't doing so well. And they
decided to pull the plug.
Yeah, they pulled the plug on it and decided to move on to their next game, which is a battle royale game called Radical Heights, which has a kind of a game show, extreme 90s type vibe to it, which I
think
kind
it's
of
80s,
did, actually.
Which, yeah, it from what I've seen of it in action, it looks like they definitely lean heavy on the game show stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a lot of like, it's the wheel round. You gotta go run to these wheels and shoot them to get special items to drop.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the whole thing here is that as you destroy stuff or kill enemies, you get money, which you can go to specific ATMs to deposit it for like future rounds, or you can go to certain places and spend it on better guns.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting way to get around the random loot stuff that are in the other games that are big in the genre.
Hmm.
And they also have very much, I think if you win, you hear, you're the best around.
Hmm.
So definitely 80s music.
Yeah, I really like the style. I should point out that this is super early access right now.
Oh, yes.
It is.
No, it's extreme early access is what they called it.
By that they mean it is really, really broken.
So, and there are a number of buildings you go in and it's just bare. You can see there's no textures and that sort of stuff.
Gotten around to filling those in yet. And the bushes, which you can glitch through and just become completely invisible. So that's awesome.
If you go look at the arcade cabinets they have in there, you can tell they just flipped them for some of the others because the words that are legible on some of the cabinets are backwards on the others.
Yeah.
Because they didn't bother just rotating them, fixing the texture work.
Yeah.
I do like they have the sort of battle royale thing where it's not the circle that's getting smaller and smaller, it's actual grids, squares on the map. So it's like, okay, these ones are going offline in, 2 minutes. So you better get out of them, get to one of the good ones. Yeah. That sort of stuff where you have to constantly move around.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat twist on that thing and being more like the original movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's
I like what I'm seeing. I mean, I don't really care too much for battle royale games or just, multiplayer shooters in general, but
yep.
I think this will probably do better for them than Lawbreakers did.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. It's also free to play, so no real investment needed up front.
Yep. So cool stuff there. And kind of a bit of sad news here. We have the demise of Steam Spy.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Steam's changes in privacy policy and the way that they're handling their online API now, Steam Spy just no-go work anymore.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing for the privacy part of it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause having all that stuff be visible easily to the public by default is not great, especially when you have certain games like Dota 2 or Team Fortress 2 where are can make people potential targets for attack.
Mm-hmm.
To hack their accounts or whatever to get those juicy, expensive items to sell over and over again, that sort of stuff. Yeah, that stuff should be prioritized over this sort of thing.
Yeah. Problem is, now this also allows developers to basically post their stuff anonymously. So that's a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
Especially with, the amount of crap that goes up on Steam. Now it's going to be harder and harder for people to actually find these bad actors. So, yeah, you win some, you lose some, basically, when it comes to that. It's going to make, the folks at Sentinels of the Store, their job a lot harder to keep, to keep people apprised of the really shady shit that goes on.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And finally, we'll get to the fun stuff of the week, which is Sega, because they're bringing out the greatest hits.
They've kind of come at the point now where they've realized, holy shit, we've got a legacy now. We need to start cashing in on it. So. Yeah.
And we'll start off with the probably the worst kept secret in gaming history for the past year and a half. The Shenmue 1 and 2 Remastered Collection is coming out this year to PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit!
Yeah. And it will be $30.
Yep, just $29.99.
Yep.
Plus tax.
You get $29 plus tax if you're in a region that charges sales tax.
Yeah.
This will be for both games. So, yeah, that's $30 for two games. So, good value there. You've got the option for normal Shenmue controls or a more Yakuza-style modern control, which is about fucking dime.
Yeah. Just small hint. Use the modern Yakuza controls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just FYI, you'll be saving yourself a lot of headaches if you do.
Yeah, they were designed for a one analog stick controller.
Yeah.
Not two analog sticks.
Yeah.
I people have to remember that, Shenmue did come out before the, two analog sticks was the norm.
Yeah.
Like, we did have some predecessors with, the DualShock, but, DualShock was still a novelty then.
Yeah.
So, that's really why the controls were so convoluted, because it was like much of Yu Suzuki's work, tended to be a little bit too ahead of its time for the current technology to handle.
Yeah. And this was just weird because it's like the analog stick would you could look up, down, and turn left and right with the analog stick, and I think it was the right trigger or left trigger to walk forward.
Yep.
It was weird.
Yeah.
So and the weird thing, play it that way.
Yeah. The weird
you
thing
thought
is,
the tank controls in Resident Evil were bad?
Oh, man. Oh, God.
Yeah. And the weird thing, I was looking at this, the NA release for Shenmue was after the PS2 came out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, that,
Shenmue 2 never made it to North America. So.
Not on Dreamcast.
Yes, it did. It did. It did come to North America. It was on Xbox.
Xbox exclusive.
Yeah.
Because fuck you, Dreamcast people.
Yeah.
So now we get both games on the same platform in the West, or at least the North America for the first time.
Yeah.
So your save will migrate from one to the other.
So, mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if they're going to just do it as a one contiguous story, or if you're going to have to play through... well, I suppose it doesn't really matter when it's
no, it shouldn't. Package. It's all one package.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole lot better than the $120 I spent for a Dreamcast, a controller, Shenmue 1, and Shenmue 2 on Xbox. So.
Yeah. See, I actually got Shenmue back when it came out, so...
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, should point out it will have both voice acting in Japanese and English. So,
yep.
Whichever you prefer. If you want to learn about
sailors. I'm looking for some sailors.
Yep.
That's the real question. Are there going to be sailors in this game?
Or do anyone know where sailors hang out?
Hey, do you know any mister? Chinese people?
Yeah.
I lost my cat.
I actually wonder if they're going to change any of that dialogue.
Oh, God, I hope not.
No. This is iconic stuff right here.
Yeah, that stuff is just so weird and cheesy. It's a meme in of itself. It cannot be changed.
This is like removing the voice acting from the start of Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
Or, you know, redoing the translation so it's no longer all your Basar belong to us, you know.
Yeah, you can't do that. No, that's not okay.
Yeah, put the muscle you have into making it look better and play better.
Yeah.
Look better, play better, and then work with Shenmue 3, which I think is the entire point.
Yeah. Yep.
Aside from the original Dreamcast and Xbox releases, were these ever reported to PC or something?
No.
No.
Nope.
Okay, so what are the chances we see Coca-Cola in the games?
I mean, if they've got Sega... Sega tends to be pretty good with the product placement, so I would not be surprised if Coca-Cola is there.
Yeah, I mean, of all the licenses, that's probably going to be the easiest one to nail down. So
yeah,
and besides which, I think it's good placement for Coke in general. So I don't think they have too much problems with it. They didn't back then. They probably won't have a problem with it now. Yeah. So there's that. And then, of course, Sakura Taisen Revival. That's what
it's about freaking time. The last game came out in 2006.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I am somewhat worried for a very important reason. Did you notice something lacking in the announcement? They didn't say what platform it's going to be on.
Yeah.
What does that usually mean?
Usually, if they're not announcing a platform right away, it's either they don't know or mobile.
Yeah, that's what's got me worried. Is this going to end up being a mobile game? Which, for the record, I mean, if Sega's been making good on their legacy recently, I don't see that happening. But, you know, the risk is still there.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past them to basically do it on all of the things.
Yeah.
Sakura Taisen is a weird game because it could work on mobile.
It could. I mean, because it's one of those games that, you know, it totally could work. It may not look the best, but it'd definitely work. I mean, especially because I've played, Sakura Wars So Long, My Love. And, if you've played that game, you're like, yeah, this could definitely work on mobile if they did it right. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing Red Entertainment is going to be involved because, I mean, they have to be, pretty much. They are the godfathers of that whole franchise.
Yeah.
So it means that, you know, Hiroi Oji is going to have to be back, you know, at most as a supervisor. And, you know, what's his name? The character designer.
Oh, I'm blanking as well.
Yeah, I'm blanking. Hold on just a sec. I'm going to freaking find out myself. Yeah. He's the guy that does Oh My Goddess and the Tales series. Yeah. Sure. Hold it. Okay, here we go. Kosuke Fujishima. That's who it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
God, that was killing me.
Yeah. But I have to say, given Sega lately, I think they're probably going to stick with the big platforms. They'll probably go PS4,
yeah,
maybe Xbox One.
They would be smart to do that because Sakura Taisen is arguably next to Virtua Fighter is arguably their most popular franchise over there. They actually have not released a new installment since 2006, and yet they still release, you know, merchandise and spinoffs, and it still sells bank. So,
yeah, we'll look forward to that. The Switch is getting a series of Sega Ages titles.
Mm-hmm.
These are, you know, digitally released classics. Some of them are remakes, some of them not so much.
Yeah.
Well, we got Phantasy Star, we got Sonic is going to be on there.
Well, these are all done by M2, so that means they're actually going to be good.
Yeah.
Like some of their previous collections.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Dungeon Force 4, that ought to be worth picking up right away.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's going to be playable this weekend at Sega Fez if you happen to be in Japan. But I'm not, so I'm not going to be playing that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just play it on my Genesis instead. Because it's still pretty awesome. I'm not sure who got the better deal here, whether the Genesis Collection people on the other platforms or the Switch got the better side of this.
Mm.
Thoughts?
I mean, these games are re-released like all the time, right?
Oh, yeah. Like,
yeah, with the exception of the Thunder Force titles. Those never show up anywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good stuff. If you got a Switch and you want Sega games, well, you're going to be well served there. So,
mm-hmm.
They won't suck.
Those are coming to other platforms as well.
Yeah, so it's not just Switch.
Bring all your old games, Sega.
Yep. Yeah.
With the amount of all these classic compositions on Switch, though, it makes you wonder what VC is even a thing.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, Sega wasn't even part of that on the Wii U.
Yeah. Well, apparently Nintendo doesn't seem to bother by the virtual console these days anyway, so maybe that's why.
I mean, the games are selling, so yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing that was announced was a Mega Drive Mini that's coming to Japan. Thoughts on this are mixed. Some seem to speculate that it might be the At Games hardware just in a different shell.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm.
Which is a possibility, or it might actually be something new. We don't know.
Nope.
It's not At Games.
Yeah, I hope it's not At Games. I hope Sega has actually, you know, learned their lesson and said no. You know, they have a pretty big deal there with Retrobit, and some of their hardware isn't bad at all. So that would probably be the way I would go if you're going to do a mini console and have Retrobit do it. But we don't know. And also, we don't really know if it's going to be coming to North America either. So, yeah, take that as you will. So,
yeah.
Would any of you buy one of these? If we had confirmation that it was not At Games, would you be lining up to buy one?
It would depend on the library.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I would say no.
No.
I didn't buy any of the Nintendo stuff either.
Yeah. Well, I don't care that much. Nintendo stuff was in it, you had inadvertently didn't buy it because you couldn't get it. So that was a problem.
I would take a digital collection over physical anytime.
Yeah. So. Pat, you have thoughts on this one before we wrap up? No.
He died.
I guess not. This week, the connection died.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll wrap that up here, and while we get on to our picks of the week. Mine is a pick that is knowledge-based. It's you don't have to buy it. It's a video on YouTube that explains the original PlayStation's very clever copy protection. I'll run it down a little very quickly here because the video is worth watching. But if you guys don't know how that worked, it was actually very ingenious. And contrary to popular belief, the color of the disc had nothing to do with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A lot of people think the black PlayStation discs were part of the copy protection. First of all, those discs aren't black. They look black, but shine light on them and they reflect back purple.
Mm-hmm.
Reason they did that is actually for longevity rather than copy protection.
Yeah.
That particular color it basically blocks out visible light but allows infrared light in. So, you know, the substrate isn't going to degrade as quickly on PlayStation discs as it would. So, but the laser will still be able to push through and read the disc.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the copy protection itself is really interesting because if you ever, like, put a PlayStation disc in your computer and tried to read it, you were able to read it just fine. But you tried to burn a disc and you put it in your PlayStation and it doesn't work. And the reason for that is because they used a very common fact about discs in general to actually make that protection work. First of all, when you're pressing a disc, no matter how good your production lines are, they're never completely round and they're never completely centered. So when you're spinning that disc, the groove is going to wobble. And if you're ever listening to Laser Load, especially on the PlayStation 1, you can actually hear this pretty clearly. You hear like a very subtle ticking sound. I'm sure every one of you has heard this.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's what that is the laser diode actually moving back and forth to keep track of the groove. So what Sony did for their copy protection is put a very specific frequency of wobble at the start of the disc that the laser checks for. Encoded into that frequency is the region of the disc. And so the laser goes over to the beginning, checks to see if that wobble is there. And if it is, then it moves on further into the disc and boots the game. The reason you can't reproduce that is because CDRs have their own wobble pattern at the beginning of the disc. So you can't write over that. So the data that would have been for the region that would have let you boot the game can't be written. So it's a very clever, very interesting little piece of copy protection, and it kind of mostly stood the test of time for, oh, maybe a year, and then figured out how to inject that the code into it, and mod chips were born. So, yeah. I like this kind of stuff because it's very geeky, and yeah. Check it out. The Technology Connections video there is definitely worth watching. So, Pat, you back?
Nope.
I don't know what that was.
Nope. So I'll just make his pick for him. If you're a Street Fighter fan, you probably want to keep an eye on Capcom today because they're looking to do something. Check out their Twitter. I'm sure they're about to announce something very interesting.
Yep.
Chris, what do you got for us?
Okay, so there are a couple of good sales on this week. There's a PSN Flash sale.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of stuff in there, especially a couple games like Darkest Dungeon is $10 on there. Ooh, cool. Along with both of its DLC are on sale for people that want to get some more out of that stuff. There's a lot of some of the same stuff that typically goes on sale, but Deadly Premonition, the Director's Cut, $4. Mm-hmm. There's especially an Ultimate Edition that includes some avatars, I think, with it, which obviously you want. Have some Agent York or some of those other weird characters as I think C5. Yeah, I don't avatars. I don't know which ones though, but I assume Agent New York is one. Bunch of other stuff. Let's see. Oh yeah, hell yeah, that's on there. 599. Yeah, the rabbits, weird rabbit Metroidvania thing, but mixed with like WarioWare.
Yeah.
Iron Cryptical, $4. The game's really good. It's a dual stick shooter, kind of like Smash TV, but has a little bit of RPG mechanics to it. Inside's $8. That game's real good. Yeah, there's a few more things here. Murasaki Babies on sale. Oxenfree is $5. They got the original Resident Evil trilogy is on sale. Mm-hmm. The PS1 versions, I think Symphony of Night, Castlevania Chronicles is also on sale. Silent Hill. Yeah, some good stuff here.
Yeah. It would be nice if those PS1 classics would ever become playable on PS4.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, he's back.
Oh, you're back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. Severed's $4.49. That's a good game to get if you got a Vita. Yeah, some good stuff here.
Yeah.
Also on the Nintendo eShop, they have a bunch of stuff that's also on sale. There's a Nicholas 10th anniversary sale. So all their Switch stuff is on sale for 20% off, which isn't the greatest prices, just because they're all price matched with their retail versions.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is $40 that is on sale for $32. Like The Binding of Isaac. I think Cave Story is also on there. I decided to click something on this page. Now the Nintendo site's taking a while to load. Just going to reload here real quick. Okay, now it's just going to keep loading. Yeah. That's great. There's Shovel Knight is on sale. It's also on sale on PSN, Xbox, and Steam because they hit their 2-year anniversary, I think. Or yeah. They hit like a 2 million sales milestone.
Wow,
nice.
They put up a bunch of numbers on their site, which probably not that surprisingly, the Switch version has brought in the most revenue.
Yeah.
Because it was available from launch and for the increased price at $25.
Yeah.
So that meant it outsold everything else.
Yeah.
Because people were like, oh, hey, good game here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There we go. I got this thing working again.
I can't believe that Nicholas is 10 years old now. Jeez, I feel
yeah.
old.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got VVV. VVV. VVV.
Yeah.
It's $8. That's a good price for that game. The game's really nice.
For every V.
Yeah. It'll do... That's only 6 Vs.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll do 2 plus is $24. Tiny Barbarian DX, it's $24. Graceful Explosion Machine, that's $6.49. It's half off. That's a real good shooter. Kind of Defender style of shooter, but more stage-based instead of just arcade style. Let's see. Yeah, they got Tennis in the Face is $2 on there. It's a real good game. Yeah. Let's see. There's Eternal Blade got its first sale, so it's only 10% off, $13.49. It's probably not worth it. Subsurface Circular, that's $4.79. That's the new Mike Bithell game.
Heard it was pretty good.
Yeah. It's pretty neat. And I think that's largely it for the eShop. 3DS has Farron 2 is $5.59. That's pretty good. Like a couple Circle games that are on there is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what was it? Radiant Historia, that is on sale already. Trying to find the price. $32. Shovel Knight's also on sale there and on the 3DS as well. Yeah, some good stuff there.
Yeah, some not much on the Xbox. Just checked. So
I think they are just putting on DLC for the stuff they had on sale before.
Yeah,
which is like, I was looking at this. I was like, why is the DLC not on sale? You just decided to not have it on sale at the same time as the games, which seems like a not good thing.
Yeah, it's like you buy you'd have to buy the game first and then hope that the DLC comes on sale.
Yeah.
I guess for stuff on
yeah,
sale
for
right
me,
now.
I came to the realization I had Fallout 3, but my saves are from the Game of the Year edition with the DLC. So when I try to load it up, it's like, hey, there's no DLC here. It might mess things up. It's like, all right, I'm deleting this.
Yeah.
Now it's like, okay, they're on sale, so I can go buy it, though. That's just not great to buy on the Xbox One store, because the way they hide the prices and make you go through extra steps.
Yeah.
Buy that stuff, especially when they don't have like a cart system.
Yeah.
That'd be real nice.
I'm really surprised that Microsoft, in all of the years that Xbox Live has been going, still hasn't gotten that around to doing that.
Yeah, and like updating the Xbox 360 marketplace on the site, like they should be making it easier for people to spend money on their platform.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But
nope.
Yeah, there's a lot of weirdness that they need to sort out. So, but yeah, there's still some good stuff to pick up if you've got a few bucks to spend this weekend. Yeah. So yeah,
or just save it up for God of War or Yakuza.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do that too.
Yeah, I think they have a pre-order for Yakuza 6 where, Yakuza 6 Digital Deluxe pre-order bundle. It's $72 with PS Plus, 10% off, and you get Yakuza 0 along with Yakuza 6 to pre-order it.
Yeah.
So you get
play Yakuza 0 right away and
play Yakuza 6. Yeah. You get two great games, it seems like, for $40 each, or a little less than that.
Yeah.
But it's a good price.
Yeah. All right, so I think we're going to call it a day for this week.
Yeah.
I'd like to remind everybody to check us out at smashpad.com, where written content is occasionally posted. We're also on, Facebook.com/smashpad, although Facebook is a dirty word these days.
Yeah.
We're
on YouTube and the Twitters.
YouTube.com/smashpad, Twitter.com/smashpad, we're there. Tweet us, message us, comment on our videos, like, subscribe, all that fun stuff we can do. Yes, with that, I am Filippo DiNolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Dan Rev Victoria.
And we'll see you all next week on the Day Zero Update.